Well, I did want to say, Dory, I did as good a head count as I could from sitting here, and I'm short, so I can't see everybody, but I got about 46 people, just so that you know, okay? Secondly, I want to say I'm happy that you all turned out. I really like to see this kind of community involvement early on in the process, and believe me, this is early on. This has not gone as far down the road as you might think it has, okay? I think this is the perfect time that if there's pushback, now is the time to do this, because this many people, you're certainly going to be heard. So many here is going to get the word out. We did have a meeting here one night where there were just as many people here to listen to some folks. I think they were from Southern Maine, weren't they, that did wind turbines, and they gave us a map of what the possibilities were. Upstairs, there was a public hearing. It had about a third of the numbers up there talking about something important that was going on in town. As we had 46 here, and there was about, I don't know, 16 up there, which was a big surprise to me. One of the things, because I have been on that energy committee as liaison in the past, that's one of the things that all of us on the select board do. We act as liaisons to the various committees. So these two nights a week you see the select board here, that's just the tip of the iceberg of what's going on with us. And I attended a number of those meetings, and more than once, just before I transitioned off that committee, the question was, should we go out into the community and ask the community next what we're going to do? We have to do that before we go any further. And the very next question that came up was, what are the questions? Mm-hmm. You know, we want to go out in the community and ask the questions. We didn't even know what the questions were to ask. So that is kind of the basis for this subcommittee that we've been talking about here, that you came to talk about tonight, is that this is the committee that we're hoping will put together the questions to ask the people in the community. And if they should find that there's more people like you than there are people in favor of it, that feasibility study will probably never happen. But we have to ask the questions first of where everybody is at and find out. Now, we've encouraged people from a group that was at the last meeting at the yacht club. There were some people there from your neighborhood that showed up, and we encouraged them to find themselves a place on this committee. We certainly don't want people on this committee who are only those people who are in favor, you know, that are 100% behind the idea of wind turbines. We want the people on this committee who also will ask those questions that may impact it to make it go away. That's an important voice to have. And I think we have a few people who signed up that were there that evening who are definitely not in favor, just like you all are. So I just wanted to kind of give you an overview of the last couple of years, anyway, of where we're at. We certainly haven't gone too far down the road with this. One of the things that this subcommittee will take a look at is if, as I said, if there's even a remote interest by the people of the town of Camden to take that next step, the feasibility study, if they find that there's no interest in this wind power and they don't want to do it, it's not going to happen. So you've been on the energy committee after you transitioned in as I was going out.
The whole mission of the group is we need to get out to the community and have an outreach and see what the receptiveness is. I don't feel like they have a feeling that it was going to be as negative as this. At the same time, I don't feel like there's been a real, just looking at the CD that you passed around, really made a real picture of what the destruction that can be caused with a wind project. It's pretty awful stuff. At the same time, I think there's a difference, though, in what this group is. They've been talking about community wind as opposed to industrial wind. So many of the industrial wind projects that you see on the CD are 48 turbines or 27 turbines. They've been leaning towards something of maybe 1, 2, 3, or 4 turbines. So that's kind of where they are. still, even despite that, you still need to build the infrastructure for something like this, and that in itself has caused a lot of destruction.
Right.
Roads 30 feet wide, massive trucks. So whether it's one turbine or six turbines or 27 turbines, there's going to be a lot of damage. So that's something that everyone needs to be careful of.
Yeah, and be aware of. Because, I mean, that piece that you put out there, if you get a space on one of the community TV programs and, you know, they'll let you run that thing on a continuous loop for a while, it's a good way to get the word out to people that might be of like minds but don't know the questions to ask. You know, I think that's the place we are right now. We're all kind of casting around going, what is this thing? Yeah.
Just one other thing, I know that Dana, I think you brought up a question of a proposed ordinance that hasn't come in any final form in front of any board that would pass it on even to the public hearing stage. I don't know when the last time you all, actually it was a sub-work group with the planning board, is that
it was
correct?
The planning board.
That never went as far as public hearings in front of the planning board. And again, any ordinance that would be have anything to do with wind turbines and the siting of wind turbines, again, goes through the public hearing process, planning board level, goes to the select board level, and again, is something that gets voted on by the town. We don't have the power to change the ordinances, and just as we don't have the power to decide to put a wind turbine on Raven Mountain.
The other thing is there is a study that was done. We did ask the people from the Island Institute to step forward because they were the ones that were very instrumental in assisting the town of Vinalhaven to get out there what they have. Now, what Vinalhaven did was very different because they're a cooperative. Mm-hmm. They're a single entity. And because of the cost of getting electricity to the island, which is actually more of a greater part of the cost of producing it, getting it out there, it made it feasible for them to do what they did in terms of electric savings. We had the people from the Island Institute take a look at it as if we were doing it singly as a town or cooperatively with two other towns and the, you know, whoever else might come aboard as a consortium. And it was pretty much determined it wouldn't save us any money. All it would do would be guarantee a rate for X number of years.
20
But it certainly wouldn't reduce the electricity bill. That's as far as we've gone. It hasn't gone any further than that. And that study is available. We have that
in
the town office. So if you all would like to take a look at it, and what they did was they presented multiple options to the town, the energy committee, the planning board, whoever else was in the room about here's what you can do, here's what we suggest you never do. Yeah, and again, it's just ideas floating in the air. Nothing has legs yet. Nothing.
And that was a study that was about the legal structure, how you structure an organization to put the wind turbines together. It's not a study of the economics of three turbines, five turbines, six turbines. It's all about the legal structure and putting an organization together. So that's all that study talks about.
But I do want to restate that it does not have legs, so it doesn't have traction.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, the committee had suggested that, not suggested, felt very strongly that it's not where the land is. It's not just Camden. There's Rockport, there's Hope. Mm-hmm. And they felt that any further discussion, just the preliminary phases, needs to go through those towns as well. So it's more than just us. There are a lot of other people that would be involved, and a lot of questions that need to be asked. Back on me.
Where did the original proposal come from?
I was here the night that it came up. The high school came forward and got that $200,000 anonymous donation because there was a group of high school kids that wanted to do wind power at the high school. They wanted to reduce the energy costs out there. And I believe it was one of the... I think you may have been saying...
I don't remember.
But
that's how it started at Morris Hill, was a donation to the high school.
Was it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Freedom.
So
the same as Freedom.
The Unity College was given money.
Yeah. And so the select board, one of the select board members said, you know, if they're doing it with the high school, why don't we take a look at it at the same time? Because the University of Massachusetts was coming in to do studies there and put some animators up on the mountain for us at the same time. Yes, ma'am.
That seems to be the approach. You go in through the schools, it puts an innocent face on the project, and you sell it to the kids who then sell it to the parents. Because if you go around and you find out how it was approached in all these different towns, it came through students, first student study, getting money from the wind power companies, and that's how they get their foot in the door.
That's interesting.
They also make a lot of promises to the community and the people in the community, and then they fade away. All the big promises disappear. As far as, cutting back on taxes, cutting back on power. My husband and I went, I'm Kathy Yerkino, we live on Barnestown Road, and we made our business on Friday to go up to Freedom, and we got out of the car and we walked all around the windmills and we stood and we listened, because we've always been proponents of green energy and anything to get off fossil fuels. So we felt it was important that we have an education as to these things. And when we were walking away, we decided to stop at the first house and ask the people what their opinion was of these windmills. 20 minutes later, he's in our car taking us to the next neighbor. And what happened in Freedom was a disgrace as far as how they came into town. And they just railroaded the people in the area. They just walked all over. And these people that we spoke to have become very active, and they have worked with the surrounding towns, and they have put ordinances in. The best one is in Montville, and all those ordinances are on the web. They're easily accessed by anyone that wants to see them. And every one of those towns put in a one-mile ordinance. In Montville, it's a mile from the property boundary. Setbacks, right? Yeah, so you can't now, and the state just says 500 feet. But as this other gentleman was saying, they do ice throws that are like 1,500, 1,600 feet, and they've recorded ice throws that are 5 feet long and 2 inches by 2 feet by 5 feet.
And 2 inches thick.
And, and several inches thick. And those things go over 1,000 feet. I mean, that could go from my roof.
Those blades turn at about 130 miles an hour.
The concern I have...
There will be no ski area there. The liability, in my opinion...
I can tell you right now, there are no they out there. There are no contractors hiding in the wings or that we've had discussions with. No, they're going to have to talk to either us or the planning board, and they haven't. There's been no...
My concern is that the town... I mean, look, we believed in wind power until we began to educate ourselves. And I think the windmill that they put in high school might be very interesting to see how it works out. It's smaller. It's not near anybody's house. The ambient noise when the kids are there, nobody's going to notice it. So it's probably very appropriate for the high school. However, if the town sees that little windmill working, then the town will say, gee, it's not a bad idea. And that's basically why they're putting it in the school, to win these anonymous donors. It's very imperative that the people in the town are educated. And there's going to be these sessions at the library, but will that be enough?
No.
And that's just it. It's important that people go out and see them for themselves and talk to people that live around them and watch the videos with the... I would probably go crazy within 24 hours with a shadow flicker going through my house. And these people we talk to, 4 months out of the year, they don't even want to be in their kitchen because that's on the south side of the house, and that's the side. And they're what? Were they 26?
Half a mile from the closest.
That brochure you have, the picture is their house.
Yeah.
And they just can't. He said you can't sit and have your coffee and read paper because it makes you crazy. I mean, I don't think that's fair for even one resident in the town to have to go through, much less a whole group.
If you want to really educate yourself, look at what's happened in Europe, because that was where this idea started. And you find like a country of Denmark, 6,000 windmills in that little country, producing 1.33%. And as soon as the subsidies from the government stop, the windmills stop. Your tax dollars support them. And that's, and then Spain passed emergency legislation to cut their subsidies. It's amazing. They're not even building them now.
I was going to say that the romance of the wind power is amazing. And one of the things that Mr. French mentioned is the education of the public, to not be educated and then get an amendment and say, oh, this sounds like a great idea, and vote on it without the knowledge of what you're really voting on. That's the scary part. That's the scary part of being participating in government. One of the other things about wind power is China is manufacturing all of the wind power machines now. There's a very they're not being made in the United States, they're all being made in China right now.
That's a guarantee of quality right there.
Yes, now I don't know whether it's on the agenda still later, but I know the Maine Coast Heritage Trust has sent a letter to the Select Board and
Coastal Mountain
Land Trust, thank you. And as far as I understand it, they have basically said that they do not want any of their land to be used in any way, either for roads or access or anything, if a windmill was proposed for the mountain. And that's about 400 acres of ragged mountain land.
Right. Their board has chosen to vote down any proposals for
right. And to me, this is very good to see someone standing up for the conservation values, because it's very important to talk about the utility value and the prices of electricity, but as people have said, the scenic values, the irreplaceable ones, are need to be considered, and that's what they did. That's why they came to that.
Yes.
About the letter proposing the wind turbine?
Yeah.
Are both of those letters referenced here opposing the wind turbine?
From the
Coastal
Mountain
Land Trust? Foundation, right? Are they referencing?
No.
They're not?
No.
They're supporting it?
No.
With the Ragged Mountain Recreation Area, correspondence has nothing to do with wind
turbines. Oh, okay. So I'm leaving.
Yeah, and Coastal Mountain Land Trust did, but their board voted not to allow towers on the property because of the commitments that they made to the donors.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Is there anybody else before we finish? I just didn't want anybody to think that we weren't listening.
I have been a wind power advocate, but over the years, and particularly recently over the past year, have come to question the real validity. And even more importantly, I look at Ragged Mountain as being one of the jewels in the crown of Canada. And the idea of putting wind towers that are as half, again, as tall as the mountain on top of it just seems out of scale entirely. Not to mention the fact that we actually have zoning ordinances against construction above 500 feet here, which is supposed to be preserving the tops of those hills. And that, as I understand it, is the intent of those ordinances. So you or I can't build our house above there, so why should we go this way?
Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, anything that's up there that belongs to the town of Canada belongs to you folks. Mm-hmm. You're the ones that make the decisions. So
we could take it down?
Sure. Take it to the precinct. Yes, sir. Yeah. I can't see. I'll just start hand. I didn't see
it. My concern with the degradation of the water is we all have wells in the area. We're not on town water.
Uh-huh.
And so my concern would be, what effect would that have, especially the construction on the wells?
Or the glass.
Well, there's a question right there that the people that are on the committee should be asking. There's one of the questions right there.
Yeah.
Not living in that area, I wouldn't even know what the questions were if I were tracking. Is there anybody else that wants to speak?
How do you get involved in the committee?
Sign an interest form. Mm-hmm. Janice, put your hand up. That's Janice. She's the go-to girl.
And may I offer, too, is anybody who hasn't already signed up, we do have email, which is friends.of.ragged.camden@gmail.com.
Already on the board.
I mean, as an organization?
Yes.
You might want to put that on that public access channel so that people can come to your meetings.
Okay, very good. And I can tell you right now there is a meeting coming up, coming Friday night at 6:30 at Barbara Malone's house. I can't really invite everybody. Barbara's sitting there. Oh, my God.
That's fine.
But
that website would fit on anything less than
26. Yeah, we are meeting on a regular basis, on at least a weekly basis. We would like to come back on a regular basis to make presentations to you as we increase our knowledge of what's going on and we learn more things about the environment, the impact, the animals, the real estate, all those things.
And when does the Energy Committee meet?
It's next Monday, the 13th. I think I just saw the.
Saturday,
yeah,
the first Monday of
the
month.
At what time?
Normally they meet the first Monday of the month, but because of Labor Day, they are meeting the 13th next week, and they generally meet at 5:30.
Monday,
yeah.
Mr. Dory? Since you're wanting to come back to the select board and make presentations, I would think that you would not want to limit yourself just to the select board, but once this Ragged Mountain work group is going, you would also want to request the opportunity to present that information to them, because they're the ones that are going to be doing the fact-finding, and they really need to hear it just as much as we should.
Yeah, probably even more so, because they're the recommending.
Well, it all starts with the ordinance, so if you go to the planning board, too.
Well, the ordinance is the only
Draft.
There's a draft sitting on the
shelf. Okay, we've got two more people.
Just very quickly, if you simply search on the web Ragged Mountain and Wind, you'll find recordings of different hearings and a lot of things about Ragged Mountain and the wind process, such as it is so far. So just Ragged Mountain and Word Wind will find you a lot of info.
Yes, sir.
I just want to thank everyone that's spoken tonight and has helped to enlighten me, because I walk in here not knowing too much. I want to thank the select board for all you guys do for us. The one thing that I got out of this was this whole $200,000 donation and having four people say, oh, that's what Morris Hill, or that's what this did. That to me is, that's the smoking gun, if you ask me. So I just hope that we could just bring this together and just we could help educate the whole town on the pros and cons of WIN before we go forward. Great. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you
for sticking it out.
Thank you.
Thank you
for sticking it out.
Yeah.